Good to have you tonight. We'll jump into it here and appreciate you coming out once again. We'll be back in James chapter 3. James 3, if you can remember back 2 weeks ago, we were in the book of James. We've gotten to James chapter 3. Appreciate you staying with me on this here as we walk through the book of James. James chapter 3, we got read through verse 13. And so notice, if you will, verse 13, James 3, 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Notice verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, we're going through the book of James, and we saw in chapter 3, I won't rehash all of what we went through already, but in beginning of chapter 3, verse 1 through 12, we looked at the power of the tongue and the importance of controlling it. And I titled it The Little Troublemaker, and it sure is, isn't it? For me, I know it is. And Brother Adams preached on it a couple months ago, I think it was. And just a very good message. But as we see, there's an importance of controlling that. You know that. I won't read through that again. But the power of speech is one of the greatest powers God has given to mankind. The ability to speak words is the ability to influence others and accomplish tremendous tasks, either good or evil. This is why we must guard our tongues very, very carefully. David wrote, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And then he says this, he that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and speaketh truth in his heart. Isn't that true? He'll abide in thy tabernacle. Now again, the key to right speech is right thought. It's not intelligence alone that gives us right speech. It's wisdom, as we're going to see tonight. A wisdom that is characterized by humility, grace, and peace. It comes from above. Now, you know, Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom, doesn't it? And we could spend much time reading through many verses, but just a few here. For sake of context, Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing, he says. Therefore, get wisdom. Now, you remember Solomon's writing in particular to his son or his sons, to his children, and he says, son, get wisdom. Now, Webster defines wisdom as accumulated philosophic or scientific learning. He also talks about knowledge. Knowledge is the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships. There's insight as well that's spoken of. That's just basic good sense, if you will, judgment as well. But wisdom includes knowledge, insight, and judgment. And so thinking through this, another Proverbs 1:7, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. So tonight, just a few things. Our text gives us three contrasts between of true wisdom. Now first is the contrast of origins. Notice again verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is three things. What are they? Earthly, sensual, and devilish. True wisdom comes from above. False wisdom comes from below. Notice that. Below. There's heavenly wisdom. It's man-made wisdom. We must differentiate between the two and have discernment. You know that. Wisdom that is not from above. It's earthly. Now, a couple things here. What is earthly? Now, he speaks of earthly. Clearly, it means worldly. You know that. It's the world's knowledge, the world's wisdom. The world promotes its own knowledge, its own wisdom, doesn't it? And we are to apply, obviously, God's or biblical wisdom that comes from above. Man unlocks the secrets of the universe, but he doesn't know what to do with them. We see this all the time. If you had any higher education in secular college or anything of that, you know that. They can understand, or they're seeking these things, the secrets of the universe, but they don't know what to do with them, if you will. Much of what he discovers or devises turns against him. Man's wisdom comes from reason. God's wisdom comes from revelation. Man's wisdom will come to nothing, but God's wisdom will endure forever. 1 Corinthians 1:19, we read it before, but it says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So it's earthly. It's just worldly, if you will. And you obtain worldly wisdom, you get a lot of information. But we need to come back to the Bible. It's from reason, man's. God's wisdom comes from revelation, the revelation of the Word of God. You know that. It's sensual. Secondly, it is the opposite of spiritual. It originates in man's nature, totally apart from the Spirit of God. Anything sensual, now that term we use today is not very good, and we won't describe that word, but it's fleshly, isn't it? It's of the flesh. Sensuality means of the flesh. It's the imagery that you can have, if you will, of that. And that's what he's saying. It's the opposite of spiritual. And so he says it's not only earthly and worldly, it's sensual. Thirdly, it's devilish. Genesis 3, we know Satan deceived Eve. It's satanic wisdom at work, fighting against the wisdom of God. And Satan convinced Eve that she could be like God. We won't go through all of that. But again, it's devilish. It is satanic. Talking with a gentleman last week, and he was talking to me about some of these things of how I need to have the revelations and need to be careful this week because there's things that may happen with the pink moon that will rise on, when was that, Monday or whatever it was, and all these things. Well, I thought, and I know it's the Holy Spirit, but it just grieves. Do you feel that sometimes? Just this grieving of the Spirit. And I thought, man, that is devilish. It's satanic. The things that are being promoted today, and the wisdom that comes from this world. So again, being cautious and careful. This wisdom God desires for us to have. Next, notice wisdom from above. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. A lot more detail with the wisdom from above than the one of the world, right? James, he says 1:17, as we read before, but every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. We look up to heaven for all that we need. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20, our Father is in heaven. Matthew 6:9, our treasures are to be in heaven, right? Not in this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, thieves break through and steal. We're born from above when we trust Jesus Christ, John 3:1-7. Our home is in heaven, John 14:1-6, and our hope is in heaven. Everything we're supposed to do, set our affection on things, what? That are above. Everything's upward. I like that. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, right? So thinking through, it's from above. This wisdom is found first in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. It's the power, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24-30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the wisdom we're seeking is found in Jesus Christ. And I truly believe the closer you get to Jesus Christ, the more you know about him, the more wisdom you're going to have. That's just biblical. But the more understanding you obtain, the things that you study and research and all that about Jesus Christ, and especially the things that Jesus Christ said personally, I'd encourage you again to go back and study John 13:14-17, all that he said. It's amazing. It's incredible. And think about this. It gives wisdom, comes directly from Jesus Christ. This wisdom, secondly, is found obviously in the Word of God. Deuteronomy 4:5, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. Keep therefore and do them. For this is what? Your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. When they keep the commandments, he says, the people around you will see a difference. They'll see the wisdom and understanding in your life around you. It comes from the Word of God. And you know 2 Timothy 3:15. He says to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. We're going to be teaching our children the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, one, through faith which is in Jesus Christ. We study the Word, help our kids to know the Word of God, and study the Scriptures. It brings the knowledge of salvation and the wisdom towards that. This wisdom was given by the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, this wisdom is ours when we ask God for it, simply asking Him for it. James 1:5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, we all do, let him ask of God. He giveth to all men liberally. That means liberally, abundance. And abradeth not, and it shall be given to him. Are you asking God for wisdom? I often, someone will come and ask me something, and before I say anything, in my head, I'm saying, Lord, give me wisdom, give me wisdom. I don't know what to say here. I don't know how to respond to this. Give me wisdom. We need wisdom, though. You know that. Let me say, secondly, there's not only the contrast of origins, the contrast of operations. Operations. Now, the wisdom from above operates differently from the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish, in verse 15. They originate from opposite sources, and they operate in opposite ways. They're going the opposite direction. What are the words, or works, excuse me, of false wisdom? Verse 14, now notice this. If ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. Lie not against the truth. So there's envying, strife, glorying, and lying against the truth. Envying, as we looked at on actually Sunday, it's selfish ambition and zeal. This wisdom says promote yourself, and that's what the world says tonight, doesn't it? This wisdom. You need wisdom for what? So I can promote self, I can gain more money, I can be better and higher and bigger than anyone else. The apostles argued over this very thing and saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom? In fact, the two brothers' mother came and said, now, Jesus, I have a request for you, and would you let my two sons sit on the right hand and on the left? And he said, you don't know what you're asking, basically, right? It was a boastful and proud and pompous kind of a question. But you think about, many have done so. The Pharisees used their religious activities to promote the praise of men, he says in Matthew 6. He says, you are basically promoting the praise of men. You walk through the marketplace, and what did they do? Oh, woe is me. I prayed all night. I've had nothing to eat all week. He said, in fact, if you're going to do that, if you're going to fast and pray, you do it in secrecy. You don't tell anyone. You know. And every time, by the way, you fast, what happens? Someone says, hey, can I take you to lunch today? You're going, the one day, right? I'm buying lunch today. I'm buying dinner. You're going. And then you have to confess, yeah, I'm fasting. Waiting on the Lord. You think about, though, this is a contrast of operations. The one is works of false wisdom, envying, strife. He says, you know that, I won't go through it, we went through it Sunday. Glorying or boasting, pride loves to boast. Nothing is prouder than the wisdom of men, where there is a desire to compare ourselves among ourselves. Isn't that true? Boasting. Four, lying against the truth, or deceit, they call. The sequence is not difficult to follow. First, notice, their selfish ambition. It leads to rivalry. In order to win, we must resort to boasting. Boasting usually involves lies, doesn't it? I don't have anything special, so I got to lie about something. Oh, I can do that. Yeah. I used to do those things. 2 Corinthians 10:12, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Notice, there's lack of wisdom. Letter B, what are the works of true spiritual wisdom? Again, meekness, purity, peace. He brings out for us in verse 17, meekness, the meekness of wisdom. Meekness is the right use of power. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. True wise person will show in his daily life, the conversation, that he's a child of God. The meek person seeks only the glory of God, does not cater to the praise of men. You know that. Meekness, strength under control. You have the ability to do something to an individual, but you don't. You have meekness, if you will. You have something that you could slander them with and it would really hurt them because they hurt you. There's meekness, right? Moses was the meekest man on earth, and yet he was the most powerful man in all that. He was face to face with God, wasn't he? He was on speaking terms with God. And you think about this, these things here, these are the true works of spiritual wisdom. Purity, pure. Notice what he says, first pure, verse 17. Indicates the importance of holiness. God is holy, therefore the wisdom from above is pure or free from defilement. God's wisdom leads to purity of life. God's wisdom always leads to purity of life. You're seeking God's wisdom, it's going to lead you to be more pure, more holy. Won't get into some of the things that are being preached today, but just the sensual, selfish things. They're saying, God told me to say this. God told me to do this. It's a lie from the devil himself, isn't it? Those cults that say those things, of polygamous things and illicit. There needs to be purity, and it's first pure. Notice, thirdly, peace. Man's wisdom leads to competition. Man's wisdom leads to rivalry.
Man's wisdom leads to war. We saw that. And we're going to later see in James 4. As he says there, verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Lust. Warring constantly. Everyone wants a peace. Everyone wants to boast of self. Isaiah 32:17, I love this verse, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. You're doing what's right, you get quietness and assurance, don't you? Gentleness. Gentle person does not deliberately cause fights. A gentle person, neither does he compromise the truth in order to keep peace. A lot is being preached that way. We don't compromise the truth to keep peace, do we? We know the truth. We keep the righteousness. Carl Sandburg described Abraham Lincoln in his biography as a man of velvet steel. I like that. Velvet steel. Soft, very plush, very nice, but he was steel. He was tough. That's a good description of gentleness there. Easy to be entreated. That's basically like a compliance, if you will. God's wisdom makes the believer agreeable, easy to live with, easy to work with. Man's wisdom makes a person hard and stubborn. A complete person or a compliant person is willing to hear all sides, does not compromise his own convictions often. I got some other verses, won't go through. Full of mercy, you know that. Good fruits, people faithful to Jesus are fruitful. Just natural byproduct of you're serving God, faithful to Him. Loving Him, faithful in your Bible reading, in your prayer time, close to the Lord, you're going to naturally be fruitful. Just happens. It's inevitable. Even sometimes when you aren't looking for fruit, even striving to produce fruit, if you're right with God, and that you're going to produce fruit. It's going to come. And it's a wonderful thing. But there's good fruits. Without partiality, singleness of mind, not wavering. But you know what you believe, and you believe it. When you lean on the world's wisdom, you're pressured from one side and then another to change your mind. Wishy-washy, up and down. You have God's wisdom, you need not waver. You'd be decisive and not afraid of it. Make a decision and you're not afraid. Why? Because you know it's from the Lord. And without hypocrisy, it's being sincere. The word hypocrite, you know, literally means to wear a mask or be an actor, to put a mask on. So when man's wisdom is at work, there may be insincerity and pretense. When God's wisdom is at work, there's openness and honesty. Speaking the truth in love. Let me say lastly here, thirdly, contrast in outcomes. Contrast in outcomes. Notice, if you will, verse 16, for where envy and strife is, there's confusion, notice, and every evil work. The world tonight is confused and they're evil. Two things, really. They're confused. They have no idea what's going on. They have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. They have no idea. Everything is working towards trying to keep yourself alive. Why? Because this is life is all that you have, and you're not guaranteed. They know they're going to die anytime soon, but they're working towards that. They need that vitality. They don't know what's coming. We know what's happening. We know it's going to come, and if tomorrow we breathe our last breath, heaven forbid, but we know where we're going. We're not scared or fearful. The contrast of outcomes. Worldly wisdom will produce worldly results. You know that, and spiritual will produce spiritual. Worldly wisdom produces trouble. Envy, strife, confusion. Wrong thinking produces wrong living. One reason the world is in such a mess today is because men have refused to accept the wisdom of God. Isn't that true? They refuse to accept it. They say, no, I don't need it. I'll do it my way and end up in a mess. Confusion means disorder that comes from instability. Disorder that comes from instability. It is related to being unstable. James says in 1:8, unruly in James 3:8. Same terminology. Jesus used this word to describe the last days in a lot of ways. Envy, strife contribute to confusion. Confusion, again, sets the stage for every evil work. And then here, lastly, God's wisdom produces the fruit of righteousness. And in verse 18, he says here to close out this chapter, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them, notice, that make peace. Fruit of the is the product of life. Fruit has in it the seeds for more fruit. Isn't that wonderful? Every fruit or vegetable has the seed for more fruit. Reproduce. Usually it is in the seed that is sown. But here it is, notice, the fruit that is sown. As we share the fruit of God's wisdom with others, they are fed and satisfied, and they in turn bear fruit. The Christian will obey God's wisdom that will sows righteousness, not sin. He sows peace, not war. The life we live enables the Lord to bring righteousness and peace into the lives of others. And that's so true. It's the fruit of righteousness. It's sown in peace of them that make peace. Are we making peace? Making peace. The old Westerns, they would always say, better make your peace because I'm about to blow you away. You know, make your peace. But you think about the contrast of man's wisdom and the world's wisdom. Be careful, and again, you already know this, but be praying daily, God, for His wisdom. I need and plead, Lord, for Your wisdom, because without it, I will naturally tend and lean towards man, my own wisdom, one, but the world's wisdom as well, constantly pushing at us. The news, the media, you can't flip open Facebook and Instagram or whatever you may have without them pushing something on us, right? Always. You need to do this. You need to believe this. And won't go into some of the things today, but the things you need to get done, need to do. That's man's wisdom. We don't have that. We rely and lean upon God's wisdom. How do we obtain it? Simply ask Him for it. I need wisdom, God. If any man ask, says, He gives to all men liberally and abradeth not. Ask for the wisdom of God. Next week, hopefully, Lord willing, we'll get into chapters 4 and 5 and begin to wrap this up. But I thank you for being faithful on Wednesday nights and staying with us. And I've greatly enjoyed the book of James. All right. Lord, thank you for time tonight. A lot of information, and I just thank you for allowing us to go through it and share it. Lord, just very simple, though, to think about that there's just two, man's wisdom and your wisdom. There's one from above, there's one from below. And we pray and ask that you would help us. We ask, Lord, I know as a church, collectively, for your wisdom. We need it. We need your discernment, your judgment, your guidance, your insight, your knowledge, all of those things, that, Lord, we may be able to fulfill your perfect will for our lives. Lord, if any are not saved here tonight, I pray that you would work in their hearts. Lord, that they would make sure of that. I pray for your help in all of our lives to be better for you. We love and thank you again in Jesus' precious name, and amen. Amen. Thank you.